Translation. O most powerful, unsurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities, and therefore I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditional life? Purport. Being in the material world is certainly miserable. But certainly, when one is put into the association of asuras or atheistic men, it is intolerably miserable. One may ask why the living entity is put into the material world. Indeed, sometimes foolish people deride the Lord for having put them here. Actually, everyone is put into conditional life according to his karma. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, representing all the other conditioned souls, admits that he was put into life among the asuras because of the results of his karma. The Lord is known as Kripanavatsala because he is extremely kind to the conditioned souls. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, therefore, the Lord appears whenever there are discrepancies in the execution of religious principles. Yada yadar hi dhanamasya glani bhavati bharata tadat manam shriyamyaham. The Lord is extremely anxious to deliver the conditioned souls, and therefore he instructs all of us to return home, back to Godhead. Sarva daman parijaja mangikang sharanam vraja. Thus Prahlad Maharaj expected that the Lord, by his kindness, would call him again to the shelter of his lotus feet. In other words, everyone should be eager to return home, back to Godhead, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus being fully trained in Krishna consciousness. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvate Sasunyavari Paskatyare Sanamine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadhara Vivasati Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Drashtosmyaham Kripanavatsala Du Shahogra Sangsara Chakra Kadanat Grasatam Pranita Badha Svakarma Vyoshattama Tengri Moolam Prito Pavarga Sharanam Vayase Kadanu. O most powerful, insurmountable Lord. O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities. And therefore I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditional life? This is one of the very inspiring prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. for Lord Nrsingadev, who is here addressed as Kripana Vatsalaha. That is, he who is extremely kind to the conditioned souls. On this Divine Appearance Day of Lord Nrsingadev, we desire to hear a little bit more about Lord Nrsingadev and also understand what type of relationship we as devotees can establish to this Kripana Vatsalaha Lord, the Lord who is so kind to conditioned souls. I cannot explain to you or narrate to you the complete Leela of Lord Nrsingadev's appearance, because this will be done by the devotees who lecture in the Nrsingha Smaranam program this afternoon, which starts at 3:30. But I would like to just summarize the Leela, so that from there we can go into this question, what type of relationship can a devotee in the Hare Krishna movement have to Lord Nrsingadev? After all, this is the appearance of Lord Nrsingadev, and this question is extremely natural. What do I at this time in my Krishna conscious life what is the relationship which I can have and which I can develop to Lord Nrsingadev? Lord Nrsingadev appeared in order to save his devotee Prahlad Maharaj from the continuous assassination attempts of his problematic father, who was an asura. When you go today to the appearance place of Lord Nrsingadev in South India, that's a place where he has appeared in one of the different yugas, then you can find there a temple in a valley where Lord Nrsingadev has adopted the form of Krodha Varaha Nrsingha. It's a form in which Lord Nrsingadev picked up Prahlad Maharaj when he was thrown down from a cliff by his father. We know from Bhagavatam that one of the attempts of Hiranyakashipu to kill his son was to just throw him from a cliff, from a high cliff. The Lord was present at that time, and he caught his dear devotee so that he would not smash against the rocks and die. Finally, after many such attempts, Prahlad Maharaj was still undisturbed, and Hiranyakashipu was was disturbed because of this. I think you can understand if someone, in the face of the worst difficulties, remains undisturbed, then you begin to question what is going on. A devotee or devotees are usually very sensitive people, and we can see in our movement small things can upset them very easily. Now imagine a devotee who, despite many difficulties, even attempts to kill him, remains undisturbed in blissful consciousness. You naturally begin to ask him, what is your secret? What is going on? If you would, for instance, see a devotee in the wheelchair, to happily smiling, this would be a statement to us to be a little bit more tolerant to the ups and downs of material life. So Hiranyakashipu, even though he was a demon, he could see his son was something unusual. And he asked him, tell me, from where do you get this inconceivable strength so that I can't harm you, and that you totally, that you are in total undisturbed consciousness. Prahlad answered, Father, not so difficult. I get it from the same source where you get your strength from. This was too much for Hiranyakashipu. He asked, you always talk of some metaphysical things. You talk so abstract. Where is your God? Show him to me. This time Prahlad Maharaj looked, and his eyes fell in the pillar. There he saw the smiling face of his Lord. Hiranyakashipu might have followed the eyes of his son, and he asked, Where is he? Is he there in the pillar? And Prahlad Maharaj was saying, certainly. Hiranyakashipu, with this desperate attempt to maintain his demoniac position of godlessness, in a desperate attempt to prove that God is not there, jumped towards the pillar to strike it. But before he could do so, Lord Nrisimhadev was coming or bursting out of the pillar and liberated the demon from material existence. So this in very short terms is the pastimes of Lord Nrisimhadev, which we will unfold, or which the devotees will most properly unfold to us this afternoon. When Lord Nrisimhadev came out of this pillar, he was in a very intense form, and his Mahamantra celebrates this form. Let us hear this Mahamantra. Sleep us awake, I want to say at this moment, whoever it may be. You will hear, when you hear this mantra, this Maha Mantra, you can hear. Om Namo Bhagavate Shri Maha Nishinghaya Dangsta Karaya Vadanaya Gora Rupaya Vrajanakaya Jvalamaline Mamat Vignan Pacha Pacha Mama Bhayang Bindi Bindi Mama Shastran Vitravaya Vitravaya Mama Sarvarishtin Prabhanjaya Prabhanjaya Chata Chata Hana Hana Chindi Chindi Mama Sarva Vishtan Puraya Puraya Mang Raksha Raksha Hum Pat Swaha. Even though there are only a few Sanskrit knowers amongst us who can follow, even for me as a non-Sanskrit knower, it is saying something before I can even understand it. And here is the translation. O Nrisimhadev, whose form is terrible by sharp and long teeth, who's very fearful. With strong, large nails, and who is garlanded by flames, destroy, destroy my obstacles, and kick out my fear. Scatter, scatter my enemies. Destroy, destroy my karma. Flesh, flesh. Kill, kill. Cut, cut. High ball. Ever fulfill, fulfill my desire to serve you. And protect, protect me. All around. Hare Krishna. This is the Maha Mantra to Lord Nrisimhadev. It is an intense Lord. Hare Krishna. Shri Prahlad Nrisimhadeva ki jai. Now, as any lecturer who wants to keep his audience awake, I will now take to a trick, because some of you are so tired. I will raise a demoniac question, which will upset our tempers and take care of our wakefulness. This question was posed by the ruler Akbar, famous historical king who was a Mughal ruler, but we must also say who was quite tolerant. He had a minister called Birbal, and once he asked him, "What kind of gods you Hindu people worship?" "Our Allah is very, very fornim, very majestic. He is in his own domain, the Muslim heaven, and he stays there. But he has many servants who take care of the many requests of his own people, his worshippers. But your Lord is not so majestic. He comes himself. It seems he has not even any servants. Look at your Narsinghadev. When there was some danger for Prahlad Maharaj, he did not stay in his realm. He came personally. I cannot understand how this is a god." Birbal said, "My dear king, I will give you the answer later." Then the next morning, then in the evening, he went to the child caretaker of Emperor Akbar. And Akbar had a son or a grandson, I do not remember, and they had a child caretaker, a very loving and kind man, who took care of the boy, and who was in the habit to bring this little boy every morning into the royal park. So Birbal had some discussions with him in the evening. In the morning, Akbar was on his balcony, and he looked over his park like he used to do every morning. Parks are for pacifying the mind, and emperors know this. So he saw that down the child caretaker, who was like every day bringing the grandson or the son of Akbar to the park. He was carrying him. All of a sudden, Akbar was shocked. He saw how this child caretaker took the little boy, ran to the pond, and threw him into the pond to drown him. In a matter of seconds, Akbar was jumping down from his balcony and screamed, "What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you? You crazy fool, I know. Child abuse." And ran towards to the pond and dove into the pond. Tom swam like a world master, captured the boy, and was a second time shocked. It was not the living grandson. It was only a puppet. He was covered with a crown of lotuses and whatever, and maybe a frog was on his head, and he swam back and took this puppet out and came out, and there the child was on the floor paying his prostrated obeisances, and Birbal came from behind a bush and said, "Emperor, cool down your anger. I have just given you your answer to your question. You said what type of God is Lord Narsinghadev, who comes personally and doesn't send his servants? Does he have no servants? And I knew you wouldn't understand my answer, so we had to make this little demonstration. Please forgive. When you thought your grandson was drowning, you didn't send a servant. You jumped from the balcony down. You ran through the park. You jumped in your royal clothes into the pond. You didn't send a servant for this. You have many servants. Look at you now. You are wet and crowned by the weeds and so on. Why didn't you send a servant? Because you loved your grandson. And this love is glorious. This is more glorious than anything else. Please forgive me, but now you know. This is the relationship between the Lord and his devotees. It's a relationship of love. Like here they said, Kripanavatsala. You are so kind to the fallen conditioned souls. This is very important if we wish to understand Lord Nrisimhadev. The relationship of Prahlad and Nrisimhadev is so extremely important for us that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his pastimes in Puri would always request Gadadhar Pandit to read two narrations from the Bhagavatam. This is in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. This was first the story of Dhruva Maharaj and then the story of Prahlad Maharaj and Nrisimhadev. And when Gadadhar had finished the reading of this story of Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance, Lord Chaitanya was imploring him, say it again. Then Prahlad Gadadhar went again through the pages of the Bhagavatam, and again Lord Nrisimhadev said, say it again. Why was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so attached to this particular pastime? Srila Prabhupada said, preachers should make themselves acquainted with the full Leela of Prahlad Maharaj, should save, being saved by the Lord, and preach that. We can even ask in the light of different sorts of preaching, why did Lord Chaitanya wish to hear that and not from the tenth canto the Leelas of the Lord? Why always say it again to the Prahlad Maharaj story, the Nrisimha story, and the Dhruva story? There is a very simple explanation. Because, see, here you see the relationship which is very much desired for a conditioned soul in the material world. Prahlad Maharaj was so dependent on Lord Nrisimhadev that the Lord felt so much inclined to come and save Prahlad Maharaj that he even came from the pillar to save him. Srila Prabhupada writes about this. About this deep meaning of the Leela. By the mercy of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj was especially brought to the material world to teach people how to get out of the material condition. In this Leela, there is a protection going on, but there is a teaching to all of us how we can get out of the material world. And that is, we must become as dependent on the Lord as Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj's family was no longer Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj's family was the family of the Lord. In philosophical language, this surrender of Prahlad Maharaj is called Goptritve Varanam. That is, a devotee knows the Lord is his exclusive maintainer. And when the devotee takes to this understanding in the life, then the Lord will come and protect him under all circumstances. Please, my dear devotees, make this a little more concrete, this philosophical point. All of us have gone through a conditioned life. Some of us have become older. Some of us have frustration, falten, frustration cracks in their foreheads and everywhere. Life is not always very pleasing in this material world, and I think we all have had our share in some ways. A true devotee, when he understands that life is not all pleasing in this world, and even the institution is sometimes not fulfilling all the expectations which we have in it, a devotee can go two ways. He can go a little bit towards the road he has left already, that is to try with a new perspective, maybe an esoteric perspective, to find pleasure in the material energy. Or he can finally begin to understand, oh, I must now make my relationship with Lord Krishna and I must learn to depend on the Lord. This is what we can learn on Nrisimha Chaturthi, to become dependent on the Lord, to understand this is our true family, the family of the Lord, and those good devotees who wish to be dependent on the Lord in their activities and so on. If we can come to this, then the Lord's protection is there for sure. Sometimes the Lord waits for us so that finally we come to this step in our lives where we begin to understand my only and real shelter is at the lotus feet of the Lord. Sometimes he sends us diseases, sometimes frustrations, sometimes he sends us failures of our plans, just so that we can come to this particular point. In Chaitanya Lila is a very, very nice illustration of this in the lives of Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur kept the chanting practice and his devotional practice alive even when he was surrounded by an ocean of oppressive Muslims. You know, there was this imperialistic scheme of the Mughal Empire to expand themselves and take possession of India, and they were quite successful in Bengal. The king of Bengal at that time was the Nawab Hussein Shah, a Muslim person, Hussein Shah, who was known for his intolerance towards Hinduism. That time, when devotees were blooming and blossoming, they were under great danger. So once a rumor spread that Hussein Shah, the Shah of Bengal, had sent an army to arrest Srivas Thakur, who was chanting throughout the night and so on. Srivas was terrified because around him, he was a family man. He lived with his brothers and their wives, and it was really what we call in modern times the joint family system. It was a big arrangement of all his family. And Srivas was terrified. What if he comes and with his army and he begins to torture the women and the children? And so on and so forth. He was under a great pressure. So one day, in great anxiety, he sat before the family deity of Lord Nrisimha, that was Nrisimhadev, and then he heard a knocking on the door. My God, they are here. And then the knocking was becoming really wild. Namaste, Narasimha. He didn't answer the knocking. Then he heard the door splittering. Then he saw Lord Chaitanya running through the room, sitting on the altar, and taking on a four-armed form of Nrisingadev, Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma. Lord Nrisingadev, Lord Chaitanya, in this mood of Nrisingadev, shouted, "Don't be afraid." Then he said, "I'm sitting in everyone's heart. The Hussein Shah can only come to Navadvip when I make him come. And if I choose to make him come, I will give him Krishna Prema." And then to demonstrate his, what scholars say, electric bhakti, that means that he could surcharge people with prema bhakti right on the spot. They didn't have to go through the different stages of anatta nivritti and all of that. He called to the four-year-old niece of Shiva's pandit, who was playing like little children do in the courtyard, and he said, "Come Narayani, come Narayani." Narayani heard her name and came. Then she was there before the Lord, and the Lord said, "Narayani, chant Hare Krishna." Narayani had ecstatic transformations. All the Sattvika Bhavas appeared in her body. She was crying. Tears were coming to her eyes. She was dancing, sometimes rolling in the dust, and displayed the most exalted states of love of Godhead because she was surcharged. But then Nimai looked at Shiva. "Why don't you fear?" "Now, why do you fear? Why do you fear? There's no reason to fear." So, yes. This type, it's called Sharanagati, or surrender to the Lord, is required of us. And Prahlad Maharaj will remain one of the glorious examples in our Hare Krishna movement for a devotee who was doing this. And I want to repeat Prabhupada's statement again. By the mercy of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj was especially brought to the material world. Huh? Yes, eternally liberated associate of the Lord, but he was brought to the material world. The Leela was that he underwent some difficulties by his father's, these were assassinations, attempts. He was brought to the material world to teach people how to get out of the material condition. Now, I wish to raise a question which may not be as relevant to all the devotees at this stage, but at least when we are in India, many times devotees asked us, "Why do you worship Nrisingadev? You should just worship Radha and Krishna. Don't you know in the Hare Krishna movement that you have to have an Ishta Devata, the Lord of your heart, on whom you control, on whom you focus all your service and attention?" And our answer is to these skeptics, no, you don't yet understand the concept of Ishta Devata. Lord Nrisingadev is very inclined towards the devotees of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. He's inclined in such a way that he is very merciful in removing all types of obstacles on the path of spreading Krishna consciousness and also of becoming Krishna conscious from the devotee. I wish to read to you something which is written by Bhaktivinod Thakur in his Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. "Therefore I will pray to the feet of Lord Nrisingadev, to purify my heart and give me the desire to serve Krishna, weeping, I will beg at the lotus feet of Nrisimha that I may worship Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in Navadvip, Dham, free from all obstacles. His prayers continued. At that moment, by Lord Nrisimhadev's mercy, I will exhibit symptoms of ecstatic love for Radha and Krishna, and I will roll on the ground by the door of Lord Nrisimhadev's temple. So, yes, Lord Nrisimhadev is a very, very dear devotee to the devotees who wish to focus their loving devotional service on the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Yes. Now another thing which I would like to make another point. May I ask you what you are afraid of? Are you sometimes afraid? I am afraid of the confusion at the time of death. That one becomes separated from Krishna. Dass man also in Maya vielleicht fällt und dann einfach weg ist von der Palette oder dass man einfach weggeht. That one leaves Krishna consciousness. I am afraid that Krishna doesn't like me. I am afraid that I make mistakes which can't be forgiven. Misho? I am afraid of the mind and its strength. Maybe some of our fears are so private that we don't wish to explain them. I had to research this subject, fears, and I went to the also to a psychological analysis of fear, and they say two fears are the strongest. One is to not be accepted by others. We do a lot of things in order to prove our worth in the eyes of others. The other is to just look totally foolish. I know Jayadvaita Maharaj has done in his course on public speaking, he said that the people are not aware of fear so well. When they were asked in America what they are afraid of, it's this. In the first place, it's this what I am doing now, that is to speak in public. They are very, very afraid people. And he has further analyzed that this is, although people think like this, and the psychological explanation is that we are afraid of being that we are not accepted by others, and then that we are ridiculed in the eyes, that others may have a bad impression of us and maybe spread it on com. This is a very realistic fear of a sannyasi in the Hare Krishna movement sometimes. It has happened many times. Although these are, but the real fear, this is now from our Shastra and not the psychology, psychologists who very often lack spiritual depth. The real fear is really of death, where we lose everything. This fear projects into the other smaller fears. If we do not solve this underlying fear, we cannot solve the other fears, for instance, not to be accepted by others and so on. Yes. So the Lord, Nrisimhadev, is a good, I mean, this Lord is especially helping his devotees to lose fear. The real fear is not external enemies. The real fear for a devotee in the world is his uncontrolled mind. Lord Krishna in the Gita, he says that the mind can be the best friend, but also the worstest enemy. And I think now we should all have a type of experience that when sometimes our mind brings so much negativity in our life, we become so confused and even sometimes a little bit almost separated from the blissful state of Krishna consciousness. The uncontrolled mind is something to be feared. Prahlad Maharaj says, I'm very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet? Due to the uncontrolled mind, we experience the material world as pleasing and displeasing. Prahlad Maharaj continues, because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets as if burning in a fire of lamentation. Prahlad Maharaj is here relating to the samsara, the fire of material existence, which is there for the conditioned soul. Not for him, but for the conditioned soul who is controlled by the materialistic mind, who is working in accepting and rejecting the material energy. Sometimes in this modern times, devotees are not sufficiently afraid of the material energy and they try to play with the fire by making it a cooling fire and a moon fire. Instead, the fire on the moon is cooling by nature's arrangement, but it just does not work. There is no magical wand or stick, not even the esoteric stick or the sense gratification activity, which can transform the fire of material existence into a cooling fire. It just does not work. And devotees who cannot understand this, but who grab into this fire of material existence repeatedly, they are in a disadvantage when it comes to developing their eternal Krishna consciousness. It is a very clear disadvantage. Srila Prabhupada, he saw this mentality in his disciples as well. It is nothing modern that devotees try to find some way to live in this world, to situate themselves and become happy and whole people. Even at Prabhupada's criticism of his disciples was my only criticism of you is you are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. You don't know, you don't realize what is the material condition of life. Because by the illusory potency of the material energy, material life sometimes presents itself as if it is attractive. In our childhood, we once saw this, and that's why we are still a little afraid. I saw on the TV set that there was a man under hypnosis who was induced to eat a very sharp onion, and he was crying due to the biting influence of the onion. Medutum, or but, the hypnotic person suggested to him that this is a sweet orange, and he was continuing to eat it, although the tears came. How was it possible? it was possible by the hypnotic influence. Now Maya has, that's why she is an energy of the Lord, very difficult to understand and to unveil. It does the same thing. It's a fire of material existence, somehow she puts it as a moon fire, a very attractive color, silver and so on and so forth. Don't know if you belong to this. Devotees who have a strong relationship to the moon and who just like to look at the moon because it's a mystical planet. If I don't control my mind, I'm always out in the moon and look at it. I feel so attracted. Yes, the material world is a burning fire of misery and of lamentation, but by Maya's arrangement it looks cool. And therefore, my friend Radhanath Maharaj always gives this example, anyways, of the fresh cigarette. There's a mint cigarette, and you, in the background, there's a nice waterfall falling, and a loving couple properly inflamed by the arrows of Cupid is there. And so on. He just said, you're breathing in hot fumes and you think it is cool to smoke. This is Maya. It is possible. People feel it's cool to smoke. It is even said like this. It is cool to smoke. It is Maya. Not the reality. Therefore, we sometimes are not sufficiently afraid of the material energy, and even accomplished devotees, scholars, and reciters of verses can fall back into this fire of material existence. Prahlad Maharaj, takes the solution from us. He says, because of combination with pleasing and unpleasing circumstances, and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation. Yes, he's a prince, he's a Uttama Adhikari, he's there already. He's telling for us to wake up. Yes. Let us be a little bit afraid of the material world. Let us not all the time, I will address now the modern critic who says love and fear don't go together, just like guilt and fear don't go together. True, we always are afraid from morning till evening, can't chant our rounds, can't take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. This is not our philosophy. Fear thy God, or be afraid and be fear and fear complex. No, let us be realistic. This is, we are surrounded by the material energy, and let us take shelter at the Lord to lose our fear and become happy in Krishna consciousness. Yes, let us control our uncontrollable minds and direct them to this shelter. A final point is, Lord Nrisimhadev is also especially the protector of the Sankirtan movement. We know from the Chaitanya Leela that the devotees were terribly persecuted, but then Lord Nrisimhadev appeared to the chief persecutor, the Chankatsi of Navadvip. He jumped on his chest and ripped and made some imprints of his nails on the chest of the Katsi to give him a solid warning. Don't disturb the Sankirtan movement. And devotees who are preaching should understand this art of taking shelter at the lotus feet of the protector of the Sankirtan movement, the Lord Nrisimhadev. Come with great happiness and pleasure. A final note is that it is a great source of celebration for the Vaishnava community that our Preeto Prabhuji has taken a very effective initiative to put this Nrisimha Chetra Dham, make it into a blissful place of Vaishnava activities. Now those who are visitors, they may think, oh, here, these are all visitors. It is lonely, lonely, lonely here. It is not a fact. I came a few days, and there's a blissful group of brightly effulgent devotees serving with our brightly effulgent Preeto Prabhuji, the Lord, and so on. So we should take advantage of this facility, because these devotees are extremely hospitable and happy when we come. We have all our Kadamba Kanana Maharaj and myself, we joked, I have a little sign on my door. It is a huge sign. Welcome home, it says. The huge sign. It's not a small sign. It's a huge sign. So I wish to encourage all the devotees to come more often here and take shelter at this merciful Lord. This name is so nice, Kripala Vatsala. Kripana Vatsala. Oh my Lord, who are so kind to the fallen souls. That's us, by the way. There's a very good place to come and celebrate and be happy in kirtans and Krishna consciousness. Good. These were some points. Let me summarize for you some what at least I try to bring as high as important points to your attention. This Leela is very important. Prahlad Maharaj was sent to the world, or brought to this world, to teach us how to get out of this fire of material existence by becoming dependent on the Lord. This is one of the aspects of the path of Sharanagati. And we should work on our hearts so that we can take care of this hypnotic influence of Maya, let it go, and that we understand we need the shelter of the Lord. Yes. This Akpa question, the Lord comes, is actually glorifying the Lord, because it shows that he really loves the devotees and he cares as much or more than a father who sees his son in great danger of drowning. Mm-hmm. Yes, these were some points. And I hope we can meditate today on our relationship to Lord Nrisimhadev and see how we can increase and deepen it. Hare Krishna. Does any one of you have a question? See, we are not aware of our fears usually, and therefore we give the price to whatever shows up. But it is really, if you knew you are eternal, part and parcel of Krishna, what is there to fear? If you don't know this, then this fear of extinction is there. And the ultimate is extinction happens on the deathbed. We are, however, not aware, because we have the Maya is working so hard that we just don't. Only sometimes it comes, and then when we are in the car and it comes, it slides off the road, and then it comes. Oh no, Krishna! I don't want to die. It's very much covered, this fear, so therefore we are not aware of this. So you can overcome it. This is more important than going so deep now into fears. You can overcome it by really understanding I'm not the body, by Krishna consciousness. Prime example is Maharaj Parikshit, who came to the bank of the Yamuna, and he listened to the Bhagavatam and became totally unafraid. I mean, he said in later chapters, let death come, let this snake bird or whatever magical thing come, let it come. I only have one request. Then he didn't ask for medical care, freedom from suffering, and so on. He said, let this wonderful katha, this Bhagavat katha, continue because it's so good, it shouldn't stop. So good. So when any type of fear which you have, which has ultimately its root in this unsolved fear of death, can be overcome by Krishna consciousness. Even when you have, like me, fear of the dentist, Prabhupada, he said, when we are afraid, we should recite the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, because there we find we are eternal. I must say it really works. I don't do it any longer before dentists, because now there are good injections, but when this was not there... I was operated here in the Waldkirchen and was lying for 3, and I had to go into the intensive station. And I knew already, you know, intuitions work sometimes, and you know some intuitions never cheat you, that this would be the most difficult time of my life. When I was a non-devotee, I had a horoscope which said I would die in this age or live. And I knew this operation will be the time, and I was very much afraid because I didn't want to die. And at that time I was really afraid. I mean, really afraid. It started even, you had to sign that whatever happens in this operation, I had to sign a paper. This is not the responsibility of the doctors, but the responsibility of the patient. And this is a strange paper to sign, because you're not operating. But we had to do it. It was such an operation where the doctors didn't take the risk. And so when I signed it, I panicked. And then yes, so what to do? What to do? What does Prabhupada says? Oh, read the second chapter of the Gita. And then, reading it, and then I said, do it fast, give me the injections, put me out, and then do whatever you do. Was not so afraid any longer. It works. Krishna consciousness is the weapon against fear. Angamaya Prabhu.
Two chapters before, Prahlad Maharaj is explaining to his roommates how he came to this vision. If items are separated from Bhakti Yoga, how to see this? Maybe you may remember that
word. Yes. Yes. Only by devotional service or by Bhakti can you get Bhakti. That is a fact. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said especially 5 things are important. The association with devotees, the hearing of Bhagavatam, the chanting of the name, the worship of the deity, and the residence at the holy dhams. Of all these 5, again, the prime factor and most important is the holy name. Now, you might ask yourself, what is then the reason of tapasya, of renunciation, of celibacy, and so on. But these things actually help the practice of devotional service. Especially the chanting of, I want just to pick now the name chanting. It works best when you keep the four rules and regulations, which are a form of tapasya, of restriction from material sense enjoyment. If you do too many material activities, you create offenses against the pure practice of Vaishnavism and of these four causes, and they do not work. Srila Prabhupada compared it, if you want to ignite a fire, but simultaneously you pour water on the wood, the fire can never burn. So if so in Krishna consciousness, we follow these things, some restrictions, celibacy for those in the brahmachari and sannyas order, charity as grihastas, we want to host devotees and we want to serve devotees. We have all these different things so that the fire can burn, that the process of bhakti can ignite us. But in themselves, or let me say isolated, they cannot give bhakti. They are just helps so that we can perform the processes of bhakti in a better way. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Good, then we want to come to an end. Yeah, oh, Manjulali, yes? Some prayers for today for Lord Nrisimhadev. A very, very powerful prayer is in the fifth canto. Goes like this. We can all chant it together, those who know it. I know that there are many who chant Om Namo, so that everyone can do it. We can do it responsively. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya. Namaste jaste jase avir avir bhava rajanakka rajadangsta kamashaya randaya randaya tamo grasa grasa om svaha Habayam, habayam, atmani, bhuyeshta, om, shrom. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth, just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activity in this material world. To say it in plain German, kindly vanquish our material desires. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance so that by your mercy we can become fearless, without fear, bez strach, in the struggle for existence in this material world. This is a very good prayer. It's in the fifth canto, chapter 18, text 8. Yes, this is a very good prayer. Namaste Narasimhaya is, of course, there, as we know. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Lord Nrisimhadeva ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.